So today, I want us all to turn to, in your print Bible or phone Bible, whatever it is, just get to John 3:16, and we're going to look at a really common known verse today, and in a few moments, we're going to baptize two ladies, and super thankful for that, and I want to give a little bit of context about what they believe and what we all believe as a church, and if any of you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I pray today would be the day that you understand him more and you can place your faith in him for forgiveness. This is the real deal. It's true. And all the doubts you have, I just pray the Lord would break through those today and you would see his great love extended to you. Today is one of the most joyful moments in our church family's year, any year we have. In fact, this morning during pre-pray, Jacob Thompson was like, this is my favorite holiday of the year, right? He just calls Baptism Sunday a holiday, and I love that so much, and it's so appropriate. So we got like Christmas, Easter, and baptism days, right? So that's the best. I love that. In church, as we know, 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, we plant and we water, but it's God who causes the growth. And it's important for us to understand that on days like this when people are being baptized, this isn't glory to the people that are being baptized. This isn't glory to the people that led them to Jesus. This isn't glory to the church who's discipling people effectively. This is glory to God, right? We want to be faithful always, every day, to plant and water gospel, plant gospel seed and water that seed. And then, you know what we do? We just wait. We wait for God to cause the growth. And days like this are days where we see that growth occurring and we see it flourishing and we're so thankful for that and we celebrate that. And who do we celebrate? We celebrate Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, who's doing those things, all right? So we want to have all of that right. Jesus is saving souls. And today, I want to encourage each of us to do three things. Number one is just see it. Like, see it with your eyes and like deeper than your eyes, whatever that means. Like, see what God's doing. He's changing lives. And then enjoy it. Enjoy this moment of people sharing their stories and lives being changed and recognizing God is doing that. And then the last, worship. Like, just make sure it's a day of worship for you and you're thinking, this is awesome. Our God saves. Amen? Our God saves. So prior to baptisms today from John 3:16, I want to ask a related and very important big question. Right? Usually we do big ideas. Today it's a big question. And here's the big question. It is salvation automatic or available? That's the big question. And I want you to answer that, but I want you to go ahead and think about what your answer to that question is, okay? Don't answer out loud in case you're wrong, right? But think about it, okay? Is salvation automatic or available? And here's the first point I want to get us at as we look at this for just a few moments together. The first point from John 3:16a, just the first phrase is God so loves the world. God so loves the world. Right, and I want us to think about that word so. I mean, all those words are really important. You're thinking, so, of all the choices of words to pick, you're going to talk about so for a minute? Well, just hang with me, all right? God so loves the world. Could have just said God loves the world. So why would he put so in there? Is it like God so loves the world, right? Like this, you add persuasiveness with your emphasis in a sentence. God so loves the world. And I think that's part of it. I think also part of it is when you hear God so loves the world, you expect what? You expect the quality of that love to be explained in the rest of the verse. But when you just take God so loved the world right there, that's amazing. He loves the world. The world, like, I can't properly love my family well every day. Y'all with me on that? Like, man, I'm always failing at that. And he can so love the world. Like, my little sphere of people who I want to love and impact, right, and can and am capable of doing. I fail at that all the time. God so loves the world, right? So we're talking about a capability here, and we're talking about a God who loves, and it says he loves, and he's God, and he loves the world, so he's over all of that, and such a powerful being he is. Who is he? What is he doing? He's loving. What an amazing phrase that we have. So here's what I want us to do. Just with John 3:16a, I want all of us to close our eyes, all right, just for a second. And I know some of you are thinking, what's Pastor Mike going to do? I don't know about this. I don't know about this. Just close your eyes. If you're visitors, you're like, I don't know you. I'm not closing my eyes, right? All right, just listen as I recite John 3:16. The goal of closing your eyes is tune out all else and hear this, okay? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. I'm going to read it one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Okay, you can open your eyes. Hearing that phrase, let's go back to our question. Is salvation automatic or is salvation available? All right, well, with that verse, salvation is automatic, right? Salvation's automatic. I mean, look at this. It says, God so loves the world that he did something that could extend that love to the world. He's extended his love toward the whole world. So you think this is automatic. It's done. It's out there. It's automatic. So enormous questions emphatically answered in this one-third verse of John 3:16. So here they are. Enormous questions answered. These are questions everybody's wondering and maybe would come up in your conversations with people regularly as we open our eyes to see people that the Lord would have us be sharing the gospel with. First question is, does God love you? What's the answer to that question from this chapter, from this verse? Yes. Does God love you? Yes. By all means, he does. Does God love us? Yes. Right? It's not just personal, but it's corporate. He loves us. And then does God love everyone? Yes. Y'all, that question, that is in question. All three of those today. Does God love me? Does God love us? Does God love everyone? The answer to all three of those questions is emphatically yes because of John 3:16a. God so loves the world. Couldn't be more clear, right? He so loves the world. And I want you to know that. And I want you to feel that and be ministered to by that. And just take it right here from the book, God's Voice Written Down, the Bible, and know it. God loves you and God loves all. And then the natural next question after those are answered is, how does God love me? How does God love everyone? If God is so loving the world, like in what ways? Is it through like cuddles and kisses and snuggling with us? Or is it through like lavish gifts that he says? We're like, God, I want. And we finish the sentence and then he gives it to us no matter what. Is it that kind of love? Or is it a love that just, you know, sees us being absolute wrecks and messes and sinning and he just overlooks it because he loves us so much? Is it that? Those are our concepts of love that we're kind of operating with in this world. And so sometimes we can assume that must mean the way that God loves. And we know when we read the scriptures, God's love is very, very different than all of those things. It's deeper, it's broader, it's more eternal. It's all of those things. So how does God love you? How does God love me? How does God love everyone? And y'all, the primary, most important, most critical way that God loves us is he gave his one and only son. Amen. God so loves the world that he gave his one and only son. God didn't give some token of his love, right? Like a pendant or like send a postcard. Though if he did those things, I'm sure that pendant would be awesome and that postcard would be great. What did God do? He sent his one and only son. Who is that? It's Jesus Christ. It's God the Son, the eternal one who came out of heaven to step into this world, to bear the image of God so that we could know who God is. He's the exact representation of God, as Colossians says. And then he taught us many things. He showed us his grace. And then he died on a cross to pay the penalty of our sin. That is love. That is different category love. And God so loved us that he gave his one and only son. In reality, God could have just let us all die unforgiven in our sin, unredeemed. And instead, he sent Jesus. That is love. That is a different category of love. That is accurately otherworldly love, amen, that entered this world and changed this world and has changed each of us. That is wonderful. God so loved the world. That's personal. It's powerful. And y'all, you know what? It's true. It's true. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. I want to make sure you're enjoying that. I want to make sure you're hearing that. And I want to make sure you know that. So is salvation automatic? Is salvation automatic? Well, we've only heard one half of the verse. And the first half sure sounds automatic, right? And our tendency might be like, Man, that's already applied. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It's broadcast. It's generally applied everywhere. So we could hear that and walk away from it and be like, I'm good. No action needed. See ya, right? God so loves. But sometimes what happens is we open the good book and we read a verse or maybe half a verse, or we don't read a lot of the stuff. We find the stuff that we like, and, or maybe we don't read past the comma, and we get up and leave. We get what we want. We get what we want to read. It fits what we want to think, and then we walk away, and we're missing stuff. And you know how Monty Python, there's that great line, like, I'm not dead yet. You know that line? I'm not dead yet, right? And I feel like the scriptures sometimes when we're reading it are like, I'm not done yet. Like, we keep reading. Keep reading. What's the rest of John 3:16? Keep reading. The scripture, the passage isn't done yet. So here's the second point. First point is God so loves the world. Second point is believe on Jesus and have eternal life. From John 3:16, B. Believe on Jesus and have eternal life. So once you close your eyes again, you can trust me, we've already been through this once, right? And just listen. It says that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And sometimes it's just kind of nice to take verses like this and read them and emphasize different words. So let me do that once for you. That whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. All right, so next, go back to our big question. Is salvation automatic or is salvation available? Answer to that big question is salvation is available. Amazing, it's available. We sinners can be saved before a holy God. So final answer, salvation is available, which is incredible. Salvation's not automatic, salvation is available. So the big question immediately, right out of the gate when you read that is, have you believed in Jesus? Have you believed in him? And then the sense here is believe on him, right? And the reason I'm gonna say it like that, have you believed on Jesus, is for some reason the phrase believed in has been kind of hijacked by other phrases that we use, like, do you believe in, and you finish the sentence, right? Or we would say, like, a kid is going out on the soccer field, but they've never played before, and the kid's like, I hope I do well, maybe I'll score, and you're like, I believe in you, but you're thinking, like, you're probably not going to score today, right? Right? You say, I believe. In our world, we throw out these words, and when you hear the word believe in, it doesn't hold a lot of value, but what we know is believe on means place your faith in, or place your faith on someone else. And it's Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. I place my faith on Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty of my sin. And I recognize I can't earn that myself. I recognize I can't pay the penalty of my sin. I can't earn salvation. That's all Jesus. So I place myself and my eternity on Jesus Christ. That's what faith is. That's what belief is. From the book of James, we know there's a verse that says, even the demons believe and shudder. So do the demons know Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Do they know he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Absolutely. Are they afraid of him every single time Jesus meets a demon in the Gospels? Absolutely. They're like, Lord, Lord, please don't destroy me and slay me. They're calling him Lord. But do demons believe? No. They don't have saving faith. They don't have saving belief. What's the difference? They haven't received it. Right? Satan, demons were thrown out of heaven because of their pride. And so in humility, we come to Jesus and we say, I believe in you as Lord. You saved me. Right? We all know that genuine faith in him as Savior is not just mental acknowledgement. It's life change. It's placing our faith in him for conversion and life ahead. So then the next question is, what happens once you believe in him? What does this verse say? What happens when you believe in him? It says, you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. So this word perish, you're like, what does it mean? And you capture the meaning from the rest of the verse. It's really wonderful. Like, perish doesn't mean first death or passing away, like your funeral, right? That's gonna happen to all of us until Jesus comes back, unless he comes back before we pass away. This means second death, the long one, eternal death, separation away from God. right? Why? How do we know that? Because the last phrase, it says, but have eternal life. Not perish to eternal death, but have eternal life. And so we have that in Jesus Christ. We will not perish, but we will have eternal life. This is amazing. One verse right there given for us. It's so wonderful. See, all this verse says emphatically, and it says simply, that by believing on Jesus Christ for forgiveness and salvation, you will not perish to eternal death, but you will have eternal life. That is awesome. Sometimes God says it in a sentence. So is salvation automatic or is it available? Salvation is available. It's available. There's a lot of people who think salvation is automatic. God is love. God so loves. I'm good. Yes, he does love. And he sent Jesus. And it's like that gift is out here. But you got to receive that and open that and live that. Right? God so loves the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. What an amazing, amazing verse. So what we have here is a very level playing field. All of us are sinners. Every single one of us. None of us can get to heaven without forgiveness. None of us can earn our salvation because every sin that we've ever committed condemns us fully. Like, it is silly to think we can get to God by being a little bit better than the next guy or being as good as we think we need to be, as if our standard is what gets us into God's heaven, right? And then level playing field, all of us and every single person you know, everyone on this planet can be forgiven by receiving the gift of God who is Jesus Christ. Level playing field. So I want to give you a time for response, all right? Simple verse, eternal situation. For some of you here today, this answer may significantly shift you. You may be thinking, I think I acknowledge who Jesus is, but I don't know that I've ever placed my faith on him for salvation and forgiveness of sin and like eternal life. If that's you, do it today. Confess your sin, believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you will be saved. It's awesome. You'll have eternal life. It's amazing. All right, for maybe for others today, this question and answer may just give you a push, right? You've slowed to a stall in your walk with the Lord, and then you read this verse, and you're thinking, this is amazing, God. You do so love me. You've done all of these things, and it gives you a push, and now you're back into life, and you're reinvigorated with him, and you're ready to live for him. Or maybe this verse equips you, and you're thinking, the question, is salvation automatic or available, is a good interpersonal question for me to use in my evangelism with other people, right? And then you can do that, and you can ask that question. You can recite John 3:16, which a lot of people already know, but I just wouldn't suggest making them close their eyes. It was weird, right? Don't make them do that. And then you ask them questions, right? We're learning that the question, that is very much okay right now for you to ask people, even in our charged culture right now, is, hey, where are you with the Lord? You know someone, they trust you, just ask them, hey, where are you with the Lord? Curiosity, right? You're not starting with, you know, hey, what do you think about Jesus? It's just, where are you with the Lord? Ask that question. Hey, what do you think? Is salvation automatic or is it available? And then show them John 3:16, all right? So I just want to give you a moment. To pray, to respond, and work through those things. However this is hitting you today, talk to the Lord about that. And then I'll transition us toward baptism, all right? for who you are and for what you've done, and for so loving the world that you sent your one and only, that by believing in him, we would not perish but have eternal life. God, you are the God who sits enthroned above the heavens, and who are we that you are mindful of us? And we thank you, God, for your mercy and your graciousness. And we thank you for saying it in a sentence, John 3:16. And we thank you for all the things that you're doing right now, Holy Spirit, through us seeing your word and just keeping it simple today. And celebrating, Lord, new life. Celebrating that you are a good God who is saving souls. Celebrating that salvation and forgiveness is available. And illustrating that now through baptism. God, we love you. If there's anybody here who doesn't know you, anybody watching today who doesn't know you, we pray that you would save them by grace through faith in Jesus. If any of you are here watching right now, just ask that you would confess your sin before the holy God and believe on Jesus Christ as a Savior who paid the penalty of your sin on a cross. He buried that sin, and then he rose 3 days later. And from the fruit of his resurrection, he gives you new life. He gives you new birth. So you can live for him now, forgiven your sin, done with guilt, done with shame, and living a new life with a new heart under Jesus Christ. And I pray you could be saved today and believe that. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.